Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big
Underpants.
show. No, not to underpants. This is the big show where we have only pants. That's a new one. Only pants. Yeah, I'm your interim host, Patrice. Jeff is out this week, and Ewan is still very, very busy taking over the UK, at least. Literally. So you have to kind of deal with me today. And as always, on the big show, we have an awesome panel here. And I'm gonna start. Yes, Ben, I'm gonna start with you. How are you doing? How was your
I'm
Halloween?
doing good. Yeah, Halloween was good. It included lots of candy that's over there in that drawer.
Oh. And you
Because
had a
there were
really
no
awesome
kids to
costume.
come and eat it.
Well, more for you, right? That's how it
Yep.
works.
Yeah, I'm also apparently lost in the woods here.
Oh yeah, I can tell. It's the, like there's literally nothing. Like you're completely lost.
Looks a little Blair Witches. Is it? You have to be careful.
Yeah, but at least the weather is nice. It's not raining or something. For the
Yes.
people listening, we're talking about Ben's background. So
Yeah.
there's that. And go ahead, Ben.
Don't worry, it's virtual, people. I'm not actually lost in the middle of the
Well,
woods.
I mean, stranger things have happened, so who knows?
Yeah.
And wearing some, I'm gonna guess some kind of, yes, some kind of jersey, sports related. I have no clue what it is. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's the South African Springboks rugby jersey. They won the
Wow.
World Cup on Saturday.
Nice.
So shout out to the Springboks, and condolences to the English side.
Not really.
As I think I've said before, I know almost zero about rugby, but I bought this jersey when I was in South Africa.
Very
Oh,
cool.
yeah, I was gonna say it looks like the Green Bay Packers bought a soccer team.
Maybe that's what happened. Who knows?
Well, then it's sponsored by MTN, a local phone service provider.
MTN.
I think it's only in South
Mobile
Africa. Hello,
Tennessee Network.
Tennessee.
MTN.
Wild Tennessee. I love it.
Yeah,
Wild Tennessee.
I'm now picturing mountains on a chassis.
I mean, to be fair, South Africa has some pretty impressive mountains, so
Yeah.
yeah, it would
Yeah,
work.
it's actually but they're not
MTN could
mobile.
be
Memphis, Tennessee, maybe.
oh, true. Maybe that's what,
Or
yeah.
mountain time.
Mountain
Mount oh,
time.
mountain time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're not yet on mountain time, so there's that.
Yeah,
So,
that's true.
yeah, we
Yeah,
have.
mountain time didn't bother to show up today.
That's true, yeah. The mountain time is out doing fun stuff currently. Well, not so fun stuff, but doing some stuff. So, I think we should talk about some news stories. And Tom is like really quick fingers, drops
I'm
the
fast
story
today.
right in. So tell us about your awesome story.
Okay, I'm gonna post a second link as well if I can make my fingers work. My story is about
You only had energy for one, right?
I can only do one. My story is about a company called LTA Research. LTA stands for Lighter Than Air. And it's a company founded by Sergey Brin. They have a home at an old naval air station near me in, I guess you'd consider it Mountain View, right on the bay, San Francisco Bay. And Google took over the basically
Moffett
the
Field.
management of the commercial side of Moffett Field. And there's a big hangar there. It's an old blimp hangar that the Navy used to use when they actually had airships back in the 20s and 30s. So this company is building a huge, helium airship, and they just got approval to do some testing around. Basically, it'll fly over the south end of San Francisco Bay to do some testing. And I guess the idea of it is, this company thinks there's a role for airships. A, it's pretty green compared to an airplane. And they can do things like, in a area where a natural disaster happens, they can fly the airship to carry supplies if, airfields and roads are destroyed. They can be sort of a link to internet connection potentially if they're flying over a disaster area. But I just thought it was a cool thing to see somebody building such a huge airship, helium-based airship. It's not something we've seen for a long time, and apparently it's the biggest helium airship since the Hindenburg, which is probably, I'm not sure, is a good thing.
No, not a good thing.
That's hydrogen. Helium doesn't, but helium doesn't explode.
Yeah.
But
Well,
yeah, this
and I'm sure.
is four. This
Go
is
ahead.
406 feet long, so you're looking at an airship about the size of a destroyer.
Yeah, it's big. And I'm just wondering, it made me think, is there really a role for airships? Given all the technology of airplanes and helicopters, and people talk about flying cars, and we all remember the Loon project from Google. It was not really clear what that was about. I think they killed it.
I think there is because like we're currently struggling a little bit with how to make like air freight especially, how to make it green. I mean, also air travel to be honest, but air freight especially, to how to make that carbon neutral or green in some way. And this, I mean, slower probably, but I mean, it's probably still faster than like a container ship of some sort, so might be an option. Why not?
Yeah, I mean,
They also.
instead of using petroleum for the lift part of it, it's the helium that does the lift. You still need a little propulsion to move it around.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not a lot because if it's more or less floating on its own, the moving part is like the least bit, I would say.
Yeah, and their slowness actually has a huge advantage. When doing certain kinds of surveillance, and no, that doesn't necessarily mean spying. They have a basically an infinite loiter time with being able to go low and slow. Essentially, they become like a super helicopter.
That's a good point. We have the electrical utility company here in California, PG&E, uses helicopters to do inspection of power lines. That's maybe a good idea. You could just float an airship over and get a good look at the power lines.
Yeah, put a FLIR sensor on it. It can just stay up slowly checking out stuff for hours.
I think that will be replaced by drones, to be honest. I think drones are smaller and more versatile for this type of job.
That's true. They have good cameras. You don't need a big ship to just look at. You just need
Yeah.
a camera, something that can carry a camera.
Yeah, exactly. So I would assume that that's drones. But as I said, like anything that is heavy, and has time where it doesn't have to go fast from A to B, it just has to be efficient, I would say. Especially over oceans. Like, I mean, like trucks and stuff are fine.
Kind of fine.
If kind of fine. I mean, even that across like a continent like US, like takes a while and uses a lot of energy. So you can make that more efficient and still do it somehow. I mean, yeah, trains are really good at that, but they don't go everywhere.
Right. Well, and certainly the idea of using it in disaster areas makes sense. That's a really good application. You know, the only thing I worry about is airships don't do really well in turbulent weather. You know, if you have a hurricane, you can't fly an airship,
That's
or even
true.
strong winds could be a problem. And I'm
But
not sure what the payload is either, how much the lifting power, but it's probably enough if you're trying to get, you know, think about, airlifting. I always think about Katrina, post Katrina. Even in the US, we had trouble with roads and, you know, getting supplies in there. It would have been nice to have an airship.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a new idea. Like, we've had that idea at some point before.
When it comes to the hurricane, the handling characteristics of lighter than air vessels has improved considerably with modern fly-by-wire technology.
Yeah, and that's what this one is. That's a good point.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean,
And it's
Yeah, I mean,
got like, I forget how many, 10 or 20 little propellers all around the skin of the airship, so it can get really good control.
I mean,
Yeah, I
that's
mean,
the thing. I mean, we're way farther ahead in material science. We're way farther ahead in like electronics and like anything, basically, navigation, control systems, computers. Like, we're simply, how long is that now? 100 years? Over 100 years ahead.
100 years, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's been tried before. There's actually here in, it's actually not so far from here. Like, what is that? 3 hour drive maybe from here. There was like in the, I want to say 90s, late 90s, 90s time that they tried to like make airships like that and make them a thing and make them popular. And well, ultimately it failed because yeah, they weren't there yet. And I think it was just too expensive. I think that was the problem. So yeah, I think there's still one in operation, kind of as a tourist attraction, but that's it. I think
Yeah, we had
everything else shut down.
Moffett
Oh
Field
yeah, I
had one
remember
like that a few years ago. It lasted for just over a year, maybe a couple of
that.
years. It was a combo of tourists. You could get in and fly around the Bay Area, and then they did advertising. Was their other business idea, but it didn't work out. So maybe the disaster relief is the better application.
Yeah, let me see if I can find a link for that, and I'm gonna throw that in the
And they
chat.
also make one other they also have one other role. Ironically, the military is getting really big back into airships. Essentially, they make a stable sensor platform.
And communications too, right? Yeah, that would make sense. Anyway, every time I hear something about airships, since I, you know, live very close to a naval base which was built for airships, I'm always interested in, and of course I always think of the Hindenburg video from New Jersey and the radio announcer. Oh, the humanity.
Yeah, I found the Wikipedia link for the for that company here in Germany.
Oh
What's that?
yeah,
They still
stuff on.
exist, so I think they're still operational, but it never became the big success. They built one here, and then they built one in Eastern Germany, like another one of those hangars. And the one in Eastern Germany is now like a spa, basically. They turned the
Really?
entire, it's massive, but they turned the entire thing like a tropical spa. I can do that. So that's quite nice.
It's a cross promotional opportunity for Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, right? Zeppelin.
Yeah, Led, but that was a Led Zeppelin, right? So not so good.
Does the word Zeppelin have a meaning in German, or is it just a name? Is it
It's
somebody's
a name.
name?
It's a
It's a
name.
name.
It's a German name.
Yeah, it was named after the founder of the company, who was a very, very wealthy individual.
Yeah,
Okay.
Ferdinand von Zeppelin is the name. 1930s. So, well, Yeah, I mean, it was in the Nazi times. He was quite successful and popular. So
I see.
can tell you that.
Well, if LTA starts doing test flights near me, there's actually a hike out into the Baylands. You can walk, kind of walk out into the marshland. They have some levees just north of the runway at Moffett Field. So hopefully I can go out and get some pictures.
Oh, that would be so cool. Yeah, that's a really good story. And also a good story is Ben's about another type of, well, kind of a plane.
We are all familiar with the space shuttle as kind of the ultimate space plane. Well, Sierra Space is coming up with their own commercial space plane called the Dream Chaser. It's going to be have its first launch in 2024. It is considerably smaller than the space shuttle. The idea is essentially these could eventually replace like the Soyuz capsules going to the ISS.
Well, not just the Soyuz, right? Also the what are they called?
SpaceX.
SpaceX Dragon,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, the Dragons.
Yeah, I mean any kind of capsule really, because it's always been like a bit of a weird thing that you basically drop like a bucket from space and it drops somewhere and then you're like you pick it up. Right? I mean, that's basically what it is.
Bucket with
It's
parachutes.
actually a lot.
It's a lot cheaper if this thing eventually lands on a runway because you don't have to have an entire battle group to go get it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that also has its own challenges, right? Because I mean, the part of the complexity of the space shuttle was that it was quite expensive to operate because it had to land every time. And probably also its downfall was because of that. So yeah, it's a good, I think it's still a good idea to do that, right?
What is the background of this company?
I
Sierra
think
Space?
they're part of Sierra Nevada. I'm not sure. Yeah,
A
let me
beer
double check
company?
on Sierra Space.
It kind of
Oh,
makes
it
you wonder
is.
why that neither NASA nor SpaceX is doing something like this currently.
It may be
Right.
for the reason that you talk about from an expense point of view, just blasting up a capsule on a rocket and trying to save the rockets and reuse the rockets and parachute. Parachutes work well, but like you say, you have to have a whole fleet of ships to go get it.
Yeah, but it's probably still easier and cheaper
Probably easier,
than the
yeah. Yeah,
complexity
it's
of basically, I mean, if you have to think about that, you have to basically put a plane into space, right? You need all the,
right.
or at least, I mean, you at least some levels of control you need, like for flying in an atmosphere that you usually don't for a capsule. I mean, it literally just, you get it up there, it can navigate in low Earth orbit or in whatever in space, low gravity environments, and when it comes down, it just more or less drops, and you just control how it's going to drop to figure out where it's going to, or to get it to where you want it to land.
Yeah, it's basically a glider on the way back.
You don't need much for that. But this has to have some capability of a plane. So probably a little bit more complex. I mean, I don't know how much. I'm not an expert, but
When I was in college, I did an internship at the NASA site at Moffett Field, Ames
oh,
Research,
cool.
and there were a bunch of aeronautical engineers that had worked on the space shuttles. And one of the models that they had from the, it was like the early 70s when they were testing models, had a second set of engines on it, which was they were looking at the option of enabling the space shuttle to have power on reentry, which would give it the opportunity to do a go-round if something went wrong during landing, but they figured out, you know, the cost and the weight of having those jet engines on it was just overwhelming. So that's why they just stuck with being a glider.
Yeah. In fact, it's just simpler. I mean, yeah, less control, but it's just simpler, less things that can go wrong, less things can break.
Yeah. I mean, plus you're dealing with military test pilots.
Right.
Who are very experienced in bringing it down a planned dead stick.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah, at least the pilots are, yeah. Not necessarily all of the crew, but the pilots are.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, though, the sort of competition between a space shuttle-like vehicle like this versus just plain rockets and capsules.
Yeah, but I think still it is more complex. Yes, it's probably a little bit more expensive, but I think it's still the better design ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just gives you a little bit more control and makes it easier. And I think the rest you can figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and probably from, you know, the whole thing about the space shuttle was theoretically the turnaround time would be pretty quick to reuse it. It didn't really work out with the space shuttle. But maybe now, like you said, just like with the airship, you know,
we're 20 50, years.
Well, you know, when you think about when the space shuttle was designed, it was more like 50 years ago.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
that was the 70s.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, the idea of being able to launch this thing, have it land at, you know, Edwards Air Force Base or something, and, you know, in a month have it cleaned up and ready to go a second time. If the rockets are also, the launch rockets are also reusable, that would be a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, plus, like I said, for the current capsules, you have to have basically an entire military battle group in the middle of the ocean to be able to recover that.
That gets a little expensive.
Or drop it somewhere in the desert and hope nobody's there.
Yeah, that's what they do in Russia. That's what they do in Russia, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ocean is easier because we have a lot of that. So
yeah,
it's just easier to target.
A little bit softer landing.
Plus the water breaks the impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not so sure it's softer. It's not
really
that much softer.
At once you get speed, above about, yeah.
maybe it is still better. I don't know. But
I don't know how fast they impact under the parachutes.
Like,
you know,
it's, they shouldn't, because they shouldn't too much, because otherwise everybody would get killed. Like all the passengers would be dead. Like all the, like if it decelerates too fast, then you have a problem. So
yeah,
right.
Couple G's, not a problem. More than that, a little bit of a problem.
Well, the way they do the capsules and they re-enter, you know, they have sort of the drag chutes to slow them down. Then they deploy the parachutes. It can't be going that fast when the parachute hits the water.
That's it. It definitely can't, because otherwise everybody would be dead. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it goes, I mean, it goes really fast when it enters, but what is that like? Was it 20,000 miles per hour or something like that, or kilometers per hour? I don't remember. It's
somewhere
it's a lot.
In that range.
It's a lot.
It's kind of an amazing thing when you think about it, that between the atmosphere and the, you know, the drag chutes and the regular chutes, they go from whatever 20,000 miles an hour to 10 or 20. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to zero ultimately, because they have to.
Oh, zero, right.
At some point, you have to reach zero.
No, they catch them in a car going 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope that they don't do 10 miles an hour when they drop. So
the big thing is how fast they're going when they hit 0 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, exactly. How fast do you go from however fast you're going to hitting zero? It wasn't that. It's not the impact that kills you. It's deceleration.
Yep.
That's right.
All right, I have also quickly come up with a interesting story, the really, really new. So apparently, according to the FTC, at least, the what's called Project Nessie which is Amazon's price raising algorithm, made Amazon about 1.4 billion with a B.
Wow.
So a lot of it is redacted in that filing. But yeah, Amazon is simply, no, the FTC is simply saying this is anti-competitive. Like, it's not illegal for them to do that, apparently,
Right.
I guess. I don't know. Sounds like it is not illegal. Should be, but it's not. But since Amazon is this big and is using it against basically their competition on their own marketplace, that is the part that they have a problem with. So, yeah.
Oh, so is it? It's analyzing competitive pricing and adjusting their prices based on that, right? It's not a
Yep.
dynamic supply and demand pricing.
Something like it, yeah, apparently. Like it's
Because you know, airlines and a lot of places like buying tickets to sporting events all use dynamic pricing now, right?
It was so basically they had an algorithm that would predict that if they increased the prices, other competitors would also increase prices.
Oh.
So kind of pushing the prices up because Amazon also gets a cut if like someone on the marketplace sells through them basically.
I see.
So
Oh my
I think
God.
that was kind of the point. So to simply, and I think that's the legal part, make it more expensive for and use your power to make it more expensive for consumers at the end. Because if everybody, right, like if Amazon raises prices and nobody else does, okay, well, they can do
Yeah,
that.
right.
We don't have to, we can buy through them, but we don't have to, right? We can also go somewhere else. But if everybody raises their prices, then there's a problem. And if Amazon is in a position well, almost monopolistic position at this point, that they could.
Yeah, and in a way, they sort of indirectly control the prices of the other people on their platform.
Yeah, think that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a little bit tricky legally, but you're right. It certainly doesn't smell very good.
Okay, no. Well, it at least the FTC is saying it's not legal. Like
Right.
that's why you're suing them.
Yeah.
Like,
Right.
so yeah, this
Wow.
I mean, it for me the question is. Aside from the fact that it's illegal, probably, or at least allegedly illegal, we'll see what the courts really say about this. How did that pass the smell test at Amazon?
Who made
It's
that
like,
call?
yeah, who made that call to say, yeah, that's totally fine, we should do that?
That's kind of evil.
Someone who wanted to make a lot of money.
I mean, at a management high up management like spreadsheet level, yeah, probably. But someone I would say lower down had to have gotten the job or figured this out or whatever. Like someone implemented this and said, yeah, that's
Yes.
totally fine. Let's do that. And that I
Well,
don't
then
understand.
somebody came up with the idea, and
Yeah.
it's like any other feature in a on the software side of the business that had to get approvals, probably a long way up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
But I mean, here's the
someone
other.
saw this as an opportunity to make more money, like very clearly. It's not an accident.
No.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If the federal government finds them, or they have to stop doing it because of a successful antitrust campaign, it still made Amazon money because there's only so much the federal government can do. They can't take away that $1.4 billion.
Well, they could.
Well, but at the least they can stop it now.
Yeah.
But
Yeah,
you know.
apparently they already stopped it. I mean,
Oh,
Amazon is
okay.
saying, well, we tried it, didn't work, and then we scrapped it. And
Oh,
that's their defense. They're saying, oh, we already stopped doing it, basically. But the FTC is saying, yeah, but you still made 1.4 billion for that.
well, and it also says that CEO of worldwide Amazon stores in 2002, in 2022, suggested turning our old friend Nessie back on. They
Yeah.
turned it off, but they were considering turning it back on again. I
Yeah.
mean, thing that it makes me think about is how many other, 100 things like this are companies like Amazon working on that we don't know about or actually
I mean,
deploying and we don't know about.
probably a lot. I mean,
Probably a
and
lot.
to some extent, I mean, to some extent, it's like that's the usual thing. It's supply and demand. If a lot of people all of the sudden, like if a lot of people all of the sudden are buying one thing, the price is probably going to go up. If
Yeah,
there
which is
is, I don't know,
fine.
if there's a whatever, Christmas is coming up, the prices for Christmas stuff are probably going to go up. Like,
But that's a, at least in capitalistic societies, we accept supply and demand changes. It's when they artificially manipulate the prices like they're
exactly.
doing here.
That's the point. Like, I mean, like Amazon can say, well, Christmas is coming up, or well, now Thanksgiving is coming up, so let's whatever, increase the prices on turkey by 10%. They can do that.
That's
Why not?
fair, yeah.
And they might make more money, and if people pay it, that's fine. But as long as they don't push others to do the same thing, I would say okay.
Well,
Still a gray area, but okay.
especially when those others are primarily selling through the Amazon platform.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
this was very clearly targeted at, okay, we are going to push the prices across the board and push
Yeah.
others to increase the prices because we think we can.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that one.
Yeah. Well, and it's always, we always talk about, from a legal point of view, at least in the US, it's legal to be a monopoly. What's not legal is monopolistic practices.
I think that's across the world nowadays.
Probably.
I think at least in the Western world, it's kind of the same. Like the monopoly happens. There's plenty of them out there. They get monitored and watched and scrutinized for a reason.
And I don't know about you, but between Google search results getting to be crap because of promotion of sponsored stuff, and I was looking
Yes.
for something on Amazon the other day. It takes forever to find what you're looking for
Yes.
because of all the sponsored stuff.
It's even worse than that. Even like the sponsored stuff is one thing, but even the search results themselves are crap. I mean,
Yeah.
like in on I had that on Google Maps pretty like across the board. When I search for a restaurant, for a certain type of restaurant, like I was looking here with a friend of mine. She's from India, and she was like, she's from northern India, but she's like, I really like southern Indian cuisine. And I'm like, yeah, me too. We should get some. And I went to Google Maps because Apple Maps usually still not, at least here, not so good with like finding restaurants, especially the searches. Like the filter results are pretty bad, like the options you get. So I put in, okay, I want southern Indian cuisine, or I want dosa. And it said, oh yeah, not a problem. There's like 65 restaurants in Vienna. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah, we can do. And then I dug deeper in. And out of the 65, there were two that actually were actually southern Indian or had dosa. Actually, I said dosa. That had dosa even on the menu, anywhere or mentioned on the website. The others, of course, Google just filled in and said, oh yeah, it's all Indian. All the same. Why?
Right.
So they were lying to us. They were saying, yeah, there's like this restaurant has what you're looking for, and they don't. So, and that is a quality issue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm finding myself when I do a Google search, I sort of instinctively scroll up past the first like 10 or 15 results.
Yes, so true.
And yesterday I was looking for travel agents that book tours in Egypt. Just kind of a random thing. And like the first three had nothing, they were tour agencies. A tourist agent, but they didn't do anything in Egypt. They were like in Europe or, South America. Anyway,
It's
I wonder when it gets so bad that people start using something else. I mean, it would have to be pretty bad.
Well, it has to be bad, and there has to be an alternative. Like that's one of the problems you have with a monopoly like this. Where it doesn't matter how good or bad they are, they're simply the only place. Nobody else can, nobody else is even known. I mean, it, like we might maybe know an alternative, like, but ask a random person on the street if they know any search engine other than Google. Maybe they still remember Yahoo or one of the like Alta
Bing.
Vista or one of the old ones. Or Bing. Yeah, if they remember Bing, that's a already good sign because it still exists. But like most people will say, I only know Google. Maybe they say, oh, my phone. They just whatever.
Right. I
Go in the phone
think a
and use
lot of
that.
people, a lot of kids under 20 years old would say, well, I search for everything on TikTok, you know?
Well, okay. That's a good point. Maybe that works, YouTube or TikTok. But or they just whatever. They go into the search bar on their phone and just type it in there and
Right,
takes them to Google. So because Google pays for that.
Yeah, they don't
So
even realize it.
yeah. So me is that the problem is there is currently for all intents and purposes no alternative. It's not
Yeah,
that
well,
none exist, it's just nobody knows about it.
and I'm feeling the same way about Amazon for shopping. You know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I loved Amazon.
Me too.
You know, the results were clean. They weren't cluttered up with a bunch of junk.
Yeah,
The
you had
reviews were
really good
pretty reliable.
filters, like
Yeah,
you
really
could
good
drill
filters.
down.
And now it's just, I mean, it looks more like, you know, those rinky-dink shopping sites for the, you know, the secondhand stuff, you know?
Yeah, like Alibaba.
I was just
Yeah, it's
about
like
to
a,
say
yeah.
that. Yes, it looks like Alibaba. I mean, it is probably, there's probably a big overlap between it and Alibaba at this point.
Right.
Like when the products are concerned, so.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I have started to do a lot of my e-commerce with Walmart instead.
Yeah, you have the fortunate option that there is Walmart and there's one or two other options. Like Target has actually a pretty decent online shop, for example. We don't have that here. I mean, Austria doesn't even have Amazon, to be honest. We're part of Amazon Germany, so
So do you
everything
have,
ships from Germany.
what do you have other online shopping opportunities in Europe or Austria besides Amazon that are decent?
Not really.
Wow.
Not really. I mean, this. I mean, there's like. I mean, you can go grocery shopping for sure. There's like the grocery shops have their stuff, but nothing on the level of like a Walmart or Costco or something like that, where you can buy almost anything online.
Yeah, actually, Costco is a good alternative too here.
Yeah. So there is probably some, but I don't know any. So they're definitely not very popular or visible, because otherwise I would know of them.
Yeah, I think we're kind of spoiled where we are. I know, again, when I was in South Africa, they don't really have anything there. And I was reading recently, they're really excited that Amazon is coming to South Africa. They were all over the moon because they didn't. Don't really have anything.
I mean, Amazon recently, I think last year, opened their first data center in South Africa. So yeah, and that's a big deal, and it's probably just that was probably the reason that they wanted to also have like offer their services in South Africa, but they like you need to host a website somewhere.
Right.
So yeah, I said it's a
But
bit sad.
Therese, yeah. Do you want to know what business doesn't need good alternatives?
No, I don't want to know that because I already know that. It's TSO host, of course. It's yeah, they're really, really, really good people, a good company. There is alternatives, I'm not gonna lie. Like that's I think one of the things in this market is there is alternatives, but you don't need another alternative because TSO host is so good. They've been supporting us for many, many years. They've been nothing but like really helpful, really positive. If there was ever any issue, and it was never an issue on their side, it was usually we messed something up. They were super helpful. I've seen like on social media over the years, I've seen people reach out to them when they had a problem. Like on social media, they would just reach out to TSOs, and they were really good people on the other end of those social media channels, and we're like, oh yeah, very helpful and solved the problem and all of it. So they've been like nothing but good to us. We had two really, really rock solid servers. They've never gone down. Like the only times they went down was, yeah, I usually effed something up and they had to fix it. So that was usually what happened. Or like I don't know, installed some update and broke something. That's usually when it's down, it's usually my fault. I broke something. Is that never like in those, I don't know how many years we've been now with them, but I would say at least 5 probably. So like that, close to that, I would guess. It's been so long, I don't even remember anything else. But that we get two really good server. They bring us this, they bring you the live stream, the live chat, they bring you like the website with all the content, like just everything. Like everything you see from BDN, that's on TSO host. And yeah, for that support for BTN, all they want from you as a listener is that you give them some brand recognition on their social medias. Like wherever you are, I have to check if they're on Mastodon by now. I should check, but they're definitely on Facebook and I think also on Instagram. And just reach out to them and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting the British Tech Network for so long. Because that's all they want. Like they're not asking for you to do anything else. Just thank them, make them visible to others, so others can benefit from their awesome packages. Like they have hosting packages. Like you, if you need a WordPress site, if you need some other like standard stuff, they can host that for you, and just manage your content. If you need a server, they have servers. If you need a domain name, like BritishTechNetwork.com or BritishTechNetworkIsAwesome.com or something like that, so you can get that. It's not a problem. You can get all of that through TSO host. And if you do that, they're even very generous. They give you 20% off. So all you have to do is use the offer code BTN20 for 20% off, and you get that. So like it's even better. Like not that you need it, but they give you 20% off, so thank them for it.
Yep. And the best. And now, Patrice, since everybody else screws this up, tell us about the chat room.
No, Ben, today you're going to tell us about the chat room.
Oh, crap. So I get to be Patrice today.
Yes, you get to be me today. Since I'm okay. Jeff, you're me.
Yes. Let's just say you want to listen to see this or chat with us while you're viewing us live. You can go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and that'll give you the complete live IRC chats that you would otherwise get you through your own IRC clients. But let's just say you are viewing us from the future. Obviously, you can't go into the chat right now because that happened in the past. What you would go to is British Tech Network. I can't say our network's name. BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. It'll give you like a little calendar. You choose the date of the show, and then it'll give you a complete transcript. I can't talk. Transcript of everything that was said in the chat.
Very nice. That's actually perfect. Good job. Hmm. So, yeah.
You get the job. Congratulations.
Yay.
I don't want it. It doesn't pay crap.
Each and every week, you get to do the same thing, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that should have been a Halloween announcement.
It should have been. So, it's time for the cool things. Who has the first one? That would be Tom.
Quick on the draw today, I guess. My cool thing is Arlo security cameras.
Very nice.
As you can see, pretty small. It's an indoor-outdoor camera. And this is actually borrowed from a friend. We were doing some security work in our backyard to look for rats and figure out where the rats were so we could take care of them. And so we borrowed this, and it comes with a base station, you know. Mm-hmm. Basically, plug it in. You can hardwire it into your Ethernet. And you can actually, it'll store a little bit of video there. So you don't need a subscription, which is really nice. It has a microphone and a speaker on it. So you can kind of use it like, you know, Ring doorbell kind of thing. Video quality is good. It's got night vision, infrared, and the picture was really good at night. I think this is an older one. I think it's a 2K camera. The iPhone app works really well. You know, it's very simple. You can get a live view of a camera. It'll take clips based on motion or audio detection, and it'll save, you know, short little clips, little 1-2 minute clips, and show you what was going on. So I found it to be extremely handy. It was a very good tool in our rat hunting excursion, helping figure out where the rat was coming. And it's a really good camera. So we're thinking about buying one. We have to return this to our friend, but I think we might buy him. So I know there's a million cameras out there. I like this one because it's pretty simple to set up. The app is good. You don't need a subscription.
Yeah, that's important.
And they usually work with your home network of choice. So let's say you're an Apple user, it works with Apple HomeKit. It'll also work with other ones as well.
And then I think you don't need the base station, right? Because you just connect it to your network.
Do need it.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's still the bridge. Yeah.
Still the bridge. Okay. Yeah, I'm not really into the home automation, so I need something that's standalone.
Yes. Yeah, and
even if you're not
some other,
like, even if you're not into home automation, like it, like HomeKit especially is if they support HomeKit secure video, that's quite nice because it stores all the videos in your like secure encrypted iCloud.
Oh, okay.
So that is in itself, like, even if you're not automating anything, that is quite nice.
That's a good point.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know if they support that.
Yeah, and unlike some of their competitors, Arlo has never been caught spying on you.
Yeah, that's why I would
never. And they haven't shut down their servers or something.
Yeah, like some companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are a very reliable option.
Yeah, and they're not horribly expensive. They have a whole range of cameras. They don't, you know, a couple $100, you can get a decent setup.
Very nice. That is a really awesome, cool thing. Especially when you have a house or something, or pets in the house you want to keep an eye on, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kids, neighbors, mother-in-laws.
Yeah. Some of that I'm like, eh. Some of it might be illegal. Anyway, Ben, you have a really cool, cool thing.
Yes.
I saw you post about that.
Yes, that actually comes with a really cool story, because I will be getting one of these very soon because I won it in a Halloween giveaway. It is a standing desk from a company called Vernal. The one I got is 60 inches by 30 inches. It is fully powered. Yeah, the controller unit can not only go up or down, but it has four different favorite settings. For the finish, I went with a bamboo top. You can get them anywhere from 40 to 30 to 72 to 60 in, guys, sound like an ad, into L shapes. And the prices on these aren't bad. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to scoff at $620 to $1,200 for a desk. But honestly, that's the price that quality sit stands are.
Yeah.
And they also seem to have like their own chair line, a bunch of accessories for the desks. They seem like they're really, really nice.
Even the basic one that shows for $379 here looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that price, it's actually quite nice.
I mean, it's a smaller one.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I have a pretty big desk, and all it does is I dump a lot of stuff on it. So,
For workstation, you don't need that much space, right?
Exactly.
You have a keyboard tray.
Yeah, I think this much, you can see that in the video. This much would probably be enough.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I will have two desks full of crap.
Yeah, that's usually the problem then.
Which means you have to spend more money to fill that space.
Yes.
So
isn't
how did
that
you
how
win it?
capitalism works?
Yeah. I did a bunch of tasks, which included spamming Patrice and Jeff on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I was
okay.
very happy when you won. I was like, oh yeah, okay, it worked.
Yeah. Cool. Because honestly, because I had to tag people, it took me 3 or 4 minutes to actually decide to go through with it.
Yeah.
But it's just
Well,
like,
this time
okay,
it worked.
who would actually be interested in this crap, Jeff and Patrice?
No. That we were okay with you spamming us. That's
yeah,
the point.
I was going to say, you could spam me if you're doing something like that too. I don't mind.
All right.
But I mean, but honestly, having a sit stand desk is something I think everyone should have.
I agree. They're really good. I need to get one. I used to have one at work and I really miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't do the sit stand part, being able to adjust your sitting position to where you want it.
Yes.
That alone is worth the money.
Yeah, but you really, there are some people who simply can't stand or can't stand for very long,
sure.
And that's fine. Like, some people can't, that's okay. But if you're, especially when you're younger, if you're able to, or even if you're older, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're able to, I would highly recommend it because and don't stand all day because that's all equally as bad.
Yeah.
The switching and moving around part, that's what makes it. But I've been doing it for, I don't know, 15 years. Sitting, standing. I built my own standing desk and I couldn't afford like a proper one. I just like repurposed some IKEA shelves for it. And it's just so much better. And like, you think, oh, it makes no difference. But yes, because I can walk around here. Like,
It makes
move.
A lot of difference.
I can move. I can move to the left, to the right. I can, like you move automatically because you're free to move. You're not sitting down on something that basically ties you into more or less one position. And
well,
that makes
plus, you
it
get that when you sit all the time, you get that computer hunch thing, on your which screws up your back. When I was in the office all day long, I used to stand probably 90% of the time.
Yeah, for me, it's more like 50, probably 40, 50.
You know, because I was usually in meetings on Zoom and I'd literally kind of walk around. And, if I was sitting there doing a super heavy, writing some big long thing, I would mostly do that from sitting.
Yeah, no, I'm constantly switching and it's just so good.
Yeah. Well, that's a good pick. And good pick, Ben. Congratulations and good pick.
All right. That means it is my turn. And since I complained about people not knowing about search engines, there is one that I'm going to recommend today. Anyway, it was on my list. I wanted to do it, but I was waiting. So KG, I think Jeff brought it up a couple of shows ago. I don't remember if it was the Big Show or the Mac Show, but he brought it up and I tried it and I have not paid for it yet because I still have 50 searches left. So there's a free tier of 100 searches. I think it's in total, so it's kind of a free trial. Like, if once you've reached 100, you have to pay for it. Not that much. It's like, I think, was it like for the full version, $10 a month, something like that. Depending on how, like, unlimited is basically 10, and I think there's a lower tier if you need less, which I would probably get away with given that I've been using it for, I think, a month and a half almost by now, and well, at least more than a month, and I only have used 50 searches. So I don't know how that happens because I put it like I went all in. I was like, if I'm gonna try it, I'm gonna try it. It's like probably like all my devices, the default gets switched to this. So I tried that. It's on iOS a little bit more difficult because well, it's not one of the official Apple sanctioned options because only Apple can put you into that list. It's not you can just ship an app and then like you can offer a default search engine. But they found a quite ingenious way how to do it with like an extension that kind of hooks in. And they also have a browser or part of a third party browser, Orion. So it's kind of like thinking about it or how I think about it. I use Safari as my main thing, and I said with that extension, it works also in there. But kind of like the Google app, you can download and then use that to search things. You can use the Orion browser. It's kind of my KG search app. So if I want to search for something, I just go in there. And that works. As I said, it would be nice if Apple were to add them to the list, but they're probably too small yet. Like if
So
they're bigger,
they have iOS and Android apps.
iOS, Android, on the Mac, you can just like change it in the browser because there's easy. Mac is again easier than iOS. But yeah, it works. And I'm honestly, it is for me at least, pretty close to, so far at least, pretty close to the old Google results. It looks very similar to the old Google results without all the advertisement crap and all of the other shit that they did. And the results are actually pretty good. I mean, that's for me the hardest part because like I search for some really strange stuff, like especially development related, like very esoteric questions sometimes. And that's usually where I've struggled with others because like on DuckDuckGo, for example, it really struggles with that. The results are not very good for stuff. And then you have then I'm like, I should go to Google and Google, yeah, might have a result. At least it's better than DuckDuckGo at that point. But Katie is actually, so far I've not run into anything where I felt like I had to go to Google. So
Does KG use their own index of the web,
they have their
or?
own index, but I understand. They also have some AI features I've seen. So summarizer and so on, like you can summarize web pages, all of that. From what I've seen, they provide their own search engine. So it's actually pretty good.
Given that I was complaining about Google search, maybe I need to start looking into p potentially paying for something like this.
That's it. I mean, I tried the free version. It has 100 results, which is that I'll try 100 and see how long they last. That will give me an idea how many I actually do in a month. So, I mean, I would gladly pay $10. Like, it's not that much. But yeah. Said they're pretty good. They have an API as well. So if you are more on the developer side and you want to do some scripting and you need like a search engine for searching some stuff connected to their API, it's well documented. I don't remember where they're from. Oh, Palo Alto,
Also a
California.
little
So
cagey. Oh.
they're in your neck of the woods. So
Yeah, right down the street.
yeah, so yeah, you should go and interview them, Tom.
I could.
Actually, that would be
Maybe
pretty cool.
I
Invite them
can go
over.
there. I go
Invite them
there and
into
tell
onto
them.
the big show.
I could, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I could. I was thinking I'd go there and pay in cash and see if I get a discount.
Oh, that's a good idea.
People do, is that still a thing? Get a discount for cash?
You can try. Actually, it might still work. I mean, yeah. So that's that. It's a really good option. So the only thing is the iOS integration is a little bit strange. You have to basically copy a link into the plugin and then it works. So, but I don't think that's their fault. They found a really clever solution for something that is really hard to do because Apple simply doesn't offer it. I'm pretty sure on Android it's easier because Android, I think that's one of the cases where Android probably has more customization options. Yeah,
That's a
that's it.
great pick.
No at, very important. No, zero, zip.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
For me too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, add to, and sponsored links.
Oh yeah. Well,
What's
for me,
our
that's
ads?
just, for me, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's literally the same thing. All right. Speaking of the same thing, I think we're done. I know I that came too late. Yeah, let's finish this show. Let's talk about where people can find you. And I'm gonna go in reverse order this time and start with Tom.
People can find me on Mastodon at I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Thank you. And if you're not on S on at if you're not Tom F at sfba.social, you're out there somewhere taking photos of airplanes.
Airships.
Airs and that and spaceships and whatever, UFOs and
That's true.
whatever comes to you to your area.
Yeah, what's it? What's the, what do they call it now? UAPs.
UAPs. Yeah,
Yes,
I'm looking for
UAPs.
UAPs.
Yeah, exactly. And not a UAP, Ben, where can people find you?
Am I not, or am I?
Well, the truth
You
is
can
out there,
find
you
me.
know.
Logically, you can find me at Ben Rathig on social media. Rathig.tech for my writings. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mac Voices with Mr. Chuck Joyner. On Thursday nights, you can find me on In Touch with iOS with Dave Ginsberg. And of course, Friday and Thursday, it should have been the other way around. You can find me on The Big Show like today, or The Mac Show like tomorrow here on the British Tech Network.
Yeah,
And
thanks, Ben.
Patrice, yeah,
Yes.
where can we find you?
Well, thanks, Ben, and thanks, Tom, for being here. You can find me every week here, also like Ben, on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays, where we talk about the Apple side of things. Tomorrow, we're gonna reveal the results of our keynote poker, since there was an Apple event this week, and then probably talk way too much about the 30-minute event that it was.
Yes.
That's the usual thing, right? You can find more about me, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And you can join a friendly Mastodon server if you want at techhangout.social. Just send me a message before so that I know who you are, and then I'm going to approve you. Or you can get a link from me to sign up directly. Either way is fine. And yeah, with that, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the host for supporting us. I should also mention the news show still happening. Not this week because Kyle has a public holiday and took a couple days off. I think that's totally okay, but he's back next week, and we should really, really, really support the news show. There's a Patreon for it. I think it's at $77, I want to say, something like that currently. Not a lot of people, 26. So definitely needs more support. He's doing a really awesome job with, like, I think 4 times a week, plus the weekend edition, if you like support that. There's a free edition, I think once or twice a week on British Tech Network, like one story. But if you support him on Patreon, you get 4 times a week, every, like almost, except for Wednesday, I think. Every day you get the tech news in 5 minutes and the special weekend edition if you pay $5 or more. And yeah, that's, I think we should really support that. He's a professional, so he's a
Yes.
professional speaker.
Yeah, he's great.
Voice.
Yes, and
He's
it
really
definitely takes under 5 minutes to sign up.
Definitely.
It takes under probably 10 seconds to sign up for that. I don't know. I haven't tried it in a while. I'm paying for it, so it's really worth it for me. Said I get, like, it's really the fastest tech news show you can have. Like, you feel like it's right, like, for us in Europe here. It's early in the morning, like 8-ish usually, 7 a.m. UK time, 8 a.m. my time usually. It drops and then you're Like when you get up, you have your breakfast and get ready for work, you get your news. That's how it works. So yeah, thanks for listening. Thank you, Ewan, for still letting us do this. Thanks, Muller, for always being there for us and wrangling some guests if we need them. And yeah, thanks everybody for staying with us. Have a good week. See you next time.